Friends, our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verses 6 through 7b. Now, Proverbs is not like many other books of the Bible in that it's not a story or a letter. It's not something you need to read from beginning to end in order to understand what's happening in it. Instead, Proverbs is a collection of wisdom sayings, many of which have just two lines to them. In Hebrew, these were called Masal, and in English, we translate that word as proverb, and hence the very original name of this book, Proverbs, because that's what it is, a collection of wisdom sayings. And so, friends, even though we are just reading two verses from Proverbs today, we are not necessarily doing so out of context or inappropriately, because that is how these wisdom sayings would have functioned in the time that they were written, and this is how they have functioned for people of faith for millennia since then. So, friends, I hope you will join me as we go into a deep dive on what these two verses mean for us today. So hear now the word of the Lord from Proverbs 25, verses 6 through 7b. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Friends, our God is still speaking. Alleluia. Amen. And friends, would you now please join me in prayer? Dear God, I thank you for the positions that you have given to each and every person in this room. I thank you that you have given us the ability to influence people in our lives, God. God, I pray in these moments that through whatever meek words may come from my mouth, that we understand how we are supposed to use our position and use our influence. God, help us to understand that we are not supposed to use it simply for ourselves, but for something more. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, I want to begin today by asking you a question. What's your position? Now, you may not know what I mean by position, but by position, I mean a God-given place in your life where you have the ability to influence other people. For many of you, maybe your job is your profession. Maybe your job is your position, rather. Maybe you have a position as an employer, as a manager, as a supervisor, as somebody who can influence your employees. Maybe you are a teacher and you have influence over your students. Maybe you are a nurse or a doctor or some other medical care professional, in which case you have tremendous influence over your patients. Or maybe you have some other profession where you have influence. Maybe, for example, you're a barista, because Lord knows that the person who gives us caffeine in the morning has tremendous influence over all of us. Maybe your influence comes from your relationships with other people. Maybe it's your position as a spouse. Maybe it's the fact that you're a parent and you have children, or you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle and you're also in a caregiving relational role with other people. Maybe it's the fact that you're a sibling and you have influence over your other siblings. Or maybe it's not even as formal as that. Maybe it's the fact that you're a mentor to somebody else. You're a youth group advisor. You're a camp counselor. Maybe you're a deacon of this church, but in some way you have influence over other people through your relationships. And your position can also come from your education. You can influence people through your expertise, through your knowledge, through your skills, through your vocational training. All of us, friends, have a position. Many of us have multiple positions. And so my first question for you to consider is, what is your position? But that first question really just leads to a second question, which is this: how do we use our positions? Do we use our positions for ourselves, to make ourselves look good, to get what we want, to take advantage of a situation, or maybe to take advantage of other people? Or do we use our positions for something else? And what I love about Proverbs 25, 6 through 7, is that it seems so crystal clear about how we are not supposed to use our positions. Do not put yourself forward in the presence of a king, or do not stand in the assembly of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. I think it's pretty clear in general that the advice from that proverb is, do not use your position for yourself. But I think we can get a little more concrete. We can get a little more specific about the particular situation that could be described in this proverb. I like the way the biblical studies scholar Michael F. Fox thinks about this. Michael F. Fox, this is not Michael J. Fox. the beloved actor from films such as Back to the Future, although that would be amazing if he were a biblical studies scholar. Instead, Michael F. Fox is a professor emeritus of the Hebrew Bible at the University of Madison in Wisconsin. And when he looks at this passage, he imagines a scenario in which we have a young man who is a scribe by training. Perhaps this young man grew up in a poor family, maybe a working class family, but through education and hard work, he rose up in the ranks of the scribes in ancient Israel until he achieved the ultimate position, working in the king's court. And as the scribe of the king's court, he would have had tremendous influence because this position allowed him to write down the king's laws and decrees. And the way that he wrote down the king's words would have tremendous influence over everyone in the kingdom. Now, so far in this young man's career, it's been his skills that have gotten him this far. It's his skills as somebody who can write well and who can record things correctly, but he's now in a new place in his life where those skills are only going to get him so far. Now he needs to know, what are the social norms? How should I behave myself? What are the proper ethics? And many scholars think that Proverbs 25 through 28, those four chapters, are all about how we should behave ourselves if we were to be lucky enough to find ourselves in the situation of working in the king's court. Now, friends, I was thinking about skipping some of these, but honestly, they're just so golden. Some of the pieces of advice in Proverbs 25 through 28 are so interesting and fascinating. I felt like I had to share them with y'all so that you could get a piece in your mind about what it was like to work in the king's court 2,500, 3,000 years ago in ancient Israel. Keep in mind, these are real pieces of advice written in Holy Scripture. One of them goes like this. If you have found honey, eat only enough for yourself, or else, having too much, you will vomit. That is maybe advice that seems more appropriate for Winnie the Pooh, but if you lived in an ancient culture where you were not exposed to sugar, perhaps this really was good advice about self-control. Here's another piece of advice I think is very interesting. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house. Otherwise, the neighbor will become weary of you and hate you. Some of y'all today know exactly the kind of neighbor that this is talking about, and you are thinking, how can I take that verse from the Bible, write it down, maybe like slip it under their windshield or like put it under their doormat? Now, this is one that I don't necessarily love, and I'll explain why in a second, but I do think it's interesting. It is better to live in the corner of a housetop, that it is better to live in the attic of your house in a corner than to live in a house shared with a contentious wife. Now, the reason I don't love this one is because when I first read it, I thought, this is a bit sexist. I don't like this. It seems to be blaming the wife. And then I read it again, and I realized it's not saying who's at fault here. And the fact that the husband is in the attic tells me that he knows he made his wife contentious, and it's his fault. Now, friends, whether we find these pieces of advice hilarious or serious, in some ways, they all speak to the new situation that this young man, this scribe, found himself in. He had risen to a place where he had access to new food. He finally had enough money to buy his own property and finally had enough money to get married. These were all brand new situations for him. How was he supposed to behave? And most importantly, how is he supposed to behave when it came to his position of influence? And that's where the advice that we have today comes into play. Don't put yourself forward in the presence of a king. Don't stand in the assembly of the great. In other words, don't use your position just to make yourself look good. Don't write out the king's decrees in this long, flowery language that the king himself wouldn't have used. Don't sign the decree with a signature so big it makes the king's look super small. No, instead, be humble. Be humble. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put in a lower position. In other words, if you're humble and you serve the kingdom as a scribe, maybe the king will honor you in front of everyone else. But if you don't, and the king thinks you are only using your position to make yourself look good or to further your own career, then of course he is going to demote you and put you in a lower position. What I love about this wisdom from Proverbs is that it's actually used throughout the Bible, but this is the place most scholars think it originated. Jesus, he takes this proverb and he remixes it into a story about going to a party. And at the party, you see all the seats are still open when you arrive, and you have a choice where you can sit. Do you sit at the seat of honor right next to the host, or do you take a lower seat? And Jesus' advice is always take the lower seat, because if you take the seat of honor, the host may tell you to sit a few seats further down, and then you're shamed in front of everyone. But if you take the lower seat, then the host may ask you to move up a few seats, and you will be honored in front of everyone. Earlier in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3:34, we have this powerful piece of advice. Towards the scorners, towards those who are arrogant, God is scornful. But to the humble, God shows favor. This proverb is quoted no less than 4 times in the New Testament, twice by Jesus in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, and once in Peter's letter in 1 Peter verses 5, chapter 5, verse 5, and also in James's letter, chapter 4, verse 6. So it is very clear that this idea of being humble and not using our positions for ourselves is a powerful idea that saturates the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New. But how do we use our positions today? One of the things I find so interesting, friends, about the cultural moment that you and I live in is that social media has given all of us an ability to influence people that our ancestors could have seldom even imagined. I mean, there are teenagers who have millions of followers on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and they can influence more people with one picture, one post, and one tweet than the scribe that we have talked about could influence in his entire career of writing decrees. That is the power of social media. But friends, even if we don't have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, each of us who are on social media have the ability to influence people in a powerful way, far more powerful than our ancestors could have imagined. So how are we using that ability? Well, if you look at people who are using social media frequently and are very influential, people like celebrities, it seems that there's some confusion about how they are supposed to use that position. Because on the one hand, there's a recognition that they're not supposed to be bragging, they're not supposed to be making themselves look good, but at the same time, they want to make themselves look good without looking as if they're trying to look good. Y'all know what I mean here. And this has given rise to a phenomenon known as the humble brag. Now, some of y'all may already know what the humble brag is. For those of you who don't, it is a situation in which someone seems to be talking about how difficult life is, but in reality, they're just bragging. Here's an example. Maybe you're on social media, you're on Facebook, and you're scrolling, and you come to a post, and it begins with a phrase, "Today was really difficult." And so you feel sympathy for the person, and you keep reading, and it says, "Today was really difficult. I was out in the hot sun for 6 hours working so hard, just trying to fix my yacht." In that scenario, somebody seems to be complaining about the difficulties of life until you realize that they're just working on their yacht. Now, I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody here who owns a yacht. I'm not trying to throw shade on your yacht, because I know there are people here in that category, because this is something we all struggle with. We all struggle with humble bragging. And just to prove this, I want to highlight a few examples of some celebrities who humble bragged. Now, this is from Twitter, and the celebrities I'm about to read, I'll be honest, I don't even know all of them, so if you don't know them, that's totally fine as well. Just know that these are people who have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, and this is how they choose to use their influence. Carolyn Fell tweeted, "I just stepped on gum." Who spits gum on the red carpet? I mean, friends, who complains about being on the red carpet? NPR Monkey C, this is not, I think, NPR the radio station. I think this is somebody's abbreviation for their name. NPR Monkey C tweeted, "The downside of my glamorous life standing around for 6 hours at the royal wedding, my entire little toe is basically one unified blister." Now, friends, I'm not a huge fan of the royal family like some of y'all are, but I know there are people here today who would give 10 blistered toes to have been at the royal wedding. But this one is my favorite. It comes from Official Miss Tila, who tweeted, "Man, this is so unfair." And what you can't see, but what I'm reading, is "so unfair" is one word, and "so," S-O, is capitalized. That is how unfair the situation is. What could be so unfair? "Why did the Lambo, that is the Lamborghini dealership, not tell me that I'd get pulled over at least once a week in this car? Time for a Corolla, lol." So friends, those are just some silly examples of humble bragging among some of the most influential people in our society. People who have a great position and struggle with how to use it. But the truth is, friends, all of us struggle with our position. All of us, I believe, have this deep-seated desire to feel important. Dale Carnegie, in his masterpiece of a work, How to Win Friends and Influence People, said that the desire to feel important is one of the principal desires of human beings, right up there with the need to get food, to have shelter, to have water, and to have human companionship. That is how much we all desire to feel important. And yet God has also given all of us a position of influence over other people. So of course, from time to time, we're going to use our positions of influence to make ourselves look important. But is that the best use of our position? I'll be honest with y'all that even I, as a pastor, struggle with how to use my position, whether in real life or on social media. I'll give you just a few examples. Many of my pastor friends, when they meet someone new for the first time, they struggle with a very common question, a question that I'm sure all of y'all hear all the time, but for pastors, it seems to produce unique anxiety. And the question is this: what do you do for a living? Now, I've had pastor friends who've told me that when they get that question, they'll say everything from, well, I'm a counselor, to I'm a teacher, to I work for the world's largest and oldest multinational corporation. All of which are kind of true, but are really just an excuse to avoid being direct and saying, I'm a pastor. And I know the reason for that is that they feel great awkwardness, as I do, around that question. There was one time when I was making friends with somebody at the gym. We were getting to know one another, and he just happened to be the kind of person who cursed a lot. You know, every other word was F this and F that. And I know some of y'all are thinking, Larry, that's just part of the dialect of the South Shore. What's your point? And so eventually this guy asked me, hey man, what do you do for a living? And I said to him, oh, I'm a pastor. And the very first words out of his mouth after I said that were, oh, I'm so sorry for cursing earlier. And I thought that was just so strange and funny, because it was either as if he thought no one else in the South Shore had ever cursed in front of me, or that it was okay to curse in front of everyone else except for pastors. Neither of which is true. So I struggle with my position as a pastor because I don't want to appear holier than thou when I first meet someone. I want to use my position well, but I struggle with that. On social media, I struggle as well. I don't want to humble brag, but I do want to share the awesome things our church is doing. But I often wonder, do my friends at smaller churches feel worse by comparison? I have many pastor friends who post a lot of political things on social media, but that's something that I generally stay away from because I serve a purple congregation where there are Republicans whom I love, there are Democrats whom I love, there are independents and Green Partiers and everything in between whom I love, and I don't want to use my position for that reason either. In fact, the only thing I've decided is safe for social media is to post pictures of me and my girlfriend, Kelsey. But if you look at my social media feed for the past 2 years, it looks like all we do is go on crazy amazing dates all the time. But friends, let me tell you, as a long distance couple, Massachusetts to Texas, Kelsey and I are lucky if we get maybe 50 weeks together in the same physical space. So I struggle with how to use my position. And the proverb that we read for today, at first it seems to just tell us what we shouldn't do. But I want us to re-examine it as we conclude the sermon today, because I also think it tells us what we should do. You see, there's another individual in this proverb besides the man being given advice. There's a man being given advice, there's the person giving him advice, but there's also a character with more influence and a greater position than anyone else, the king. And it is the king in the proverb who has the power to humiliate the young man in front of everyone else. But it is also the king who has the power to say to the young man, come up here. I would submit to you that just as much as we are not supposed to use our position for ourselves, we can also follow the example of the king and use our position to honor others, to help other people out, to say to someone else, come up here. Because friends, I truly believe that God did not give you and me our position simply for ourselves. Instead, God gave us our positions for the same reason that God gave us every other blessing in our life, so that we could love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength, with all our spirit, and so that we could love our neighbor as ourself. And so, friends, here's the concluding challenge for you today. I am certain that this week, every single person in this room will face at least one and perhaps multiple opportunities when you could use your position of influence to make yourself look good. Here's my challenge for us. Let's not do that. Instead, let's pay attention to those moments and use our influence to help another person. I'm imagining that at some point this week, there will be a conversation in which somebody knows a great deal of information about the subject at hand, and someone else in that conversation will say something that is almost true, that could have been true, but you know is just not quite true. In that moment, you have a choice. Do you tell the person they're wrong and humiliate them in front of everyone else, or do you say, that's an interesting position, let me tell you how I think about the matter? I'm imagining that there's a parent this week who will have a conversation with another parent, a younger parent, a less experienced person. And in that conversation, the younger parent will talk about how difficult it is to raise their child. And in that moment, you have a choice. Do you tell the person how easy it was for you at a similar moment in your parenting journey? Or do you use your position to give that person a shoulder to cry on and then give them some friendly advice, or maybe better yet, offer to babysit for them to give them a night off? I'm imagining there may also be a situation in the workplace where there's an employer or someone else with influence over other individuals. Maybe it's even an employee with influence over other employees or customers. And in that environment, someone's going to make a mistake, because mistakes always happen, even in the workplace. And in that environment, you have a choice. In front of everyone else, do you tell the person how it was their mistake and they're wrong and they screwed up? Or do you take ownership in front of everyone else for the ways that you contributed to that mistake, and then, in private, you teach the person how to avoid it? Friends, God has given each and every one of us a position. It may come from our jobs, it may come from our relationships, it may come from our education, but we are not supposed to use our positions for ourselves. Do not put yourself forward in the presence of a king or stand in the assembly of the great. Instead, I would challenge us to be like the king who said, come up here, and find ways to use our positions for other people. Because, friends, lack of humility is using our positions only for ourselves. True humility comes when we can use our positions for the benefit of others and for our God. Amen.